It's time to catch the beat from Market Street on WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM. Your community radio station is in the heart of the action in downtown Champaign, and Catch the Beat brings highlights of local news, arts, culture, and issues to pay attention to. Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Featuring three floors of gently used books, greeting cards, journals, and more. Jane Addams Bookshop is at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign. Online at Jane Addams, that's ADDAMS books.com. As always on WEFT, the views and opinions expressed on air are solely those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of WEFT Champaign, Prairie Air Inc., Station Management, the Board of Directors, or the WEFT Associates. I'm your host, Cope Cumston. I'm pleased to welcome to Catch the Beat longtime friend William Gillespie, who is also a companion savant in the book arts, in writing and designing and publishing. William, you have long been the publisher of the imprint Spineless Books, and now you are opening a bookshop with Kathy Harmon in Lincoln Square Mall, with the opening scheduled for June 5th. And this is something I'm eager to know more about. So tell us about your bookshop.
Yes, well, taking its name from the publishing house that I've run out of dorm rooms in the trunk of my car and sometimes actual apartments for the past 20 years. Spineless Books will be a independent bookstore that's kids friendly and offers the greatest books ever published at multiple price points.
In your opinion, you do have to say that.
I do. It'll be on the east side in the health and wellness wing, surrounded by acupuncture and massage and the amazing Amara Yoga Center. We're going to try to roll having a healthy reading practice into the health and wellness wing.
Well, I think that's a very good place for it.
Yeah. So I, from decades of being fascinated by this stuff and even like reaching out to Cope Cumston circa 2002, I actually had you give a little talk to the IMC on book design, where I first heard the wine glass quote.
That's right. I worked hard on that. I remember.
You crushed it. And yeah. And I'm hoping to get some more of your stuff in the ephemera that will be available. So it's very exciting. I'm a book collector and reader and have occupied almost every role in the whole literature supply chain, I would say, from teacher on up through writer to publisher, but not a distributor. So I'm now getting that to taste that final piece of the pie, what book distribution is like, that wacky, fun, mixed up world. Also dominated by giant corporations, but with lots of plucky, great independent booksellers, right and left.
Yeah, who are still calling the shots for themselves to some extent.
Yep. So I've been chasing down all the small presses that I've loved and all the, like, now you may even remember this. Book arts was on the rise in the 90s in the art department when Buzz Spector was here. And of course,
I have Buzz's books.
Yeah, I never saw any
books. Yeah.
Books from him, but he did bring Francois Deschamps. Do you remember him?
Yes, I do.
So I reached out to him because I've just been sending him stuff by mail because I think he's a cool guy. And finally, I just reached out to see if I could sell his books in the store. And we're buddies now. So and there's going to be a book art week when I get to display all the stuff I have that I'll never let go of. And then be able to sell some of these rare, exquisite treasures, which, as you know, are usually small editions, sometimes single editions. I'm thrilled, and I'm thrilled to put design and book production as part of the selection process in curating this shop.
Well, I think this is one of the more exciting openings in Lincoln Square that I can think of. So now the backstory of your shop is one of your many years of publishing, writing, and selling. So tell us about the beginnings of Spineless Books as a publisher.
Oh, well, what fun. So people hear that and rightfully think, oh, you do ebooks. I've never had anything to do with ebooks except for one of my novels was published by a company that outsourced the Kindle edition to some folks who introduced new typos and stuff. That's my only ebook. So the name came about before web publishing, mid-90s. The web was taking off circa 94, and I had more exciting technology. I had a color printer, a color inkjet printer, so I made chapbooks of my own work, and then without giving it much thought, I put on the back another spineless book because it literally had no spine. It was saddle stitched. A saddle stapler will take you far, poets. If you want to publish your own work, all you need is that funky big stapler, and you are ready to go.
And you
Just
can
oh,
do
child.
32 pages. You may be able to do up to 64.
I've definitely pushed the envelope with that and have
Yeah.
books with the staples just kind of hanging out. But so then in 2002, I made it a real publishing company with the intent of publishing books with spines. And we had a list of, oh, geez, 15 books or so. It continues to publish works, just not with any frequency or regularity and with little fanfare. But I've kept it alive, and it is part of our current business. And then along the way, I got involved in the electronic literature movement and produced a hypertext novel, and got to ride that wave of web euphoria that made so many young people rich in the 90s, though we basically paid our own way to tour our free hypertext. So that's not quite my arc, but it was fun. I love getting attention now and then.
You earned one of the first MFAs in electronic writing from Brown University. You've got some pretty impressive credentials in your background.
Well, thanks. You've done your homework.
You bet I have.
The first was Talon Mehmet, and after me came Brian Kim Steffens, offered to one person a year. And I got to live in Providence, and that's the cool part, coolest part. Cool. One of
Yes.
the cool, one of the many benefits of attending the redheaded stepchild of the Ivy League, Brown University.
I think it was one of your very first publications with Spineless was a book that has always fascinated me. It is a palindrome, which is the same thing spelled forward and backward. And you published this in the year 2002, which itself is a palindrome. Just describe what that book was.
That was the first book with a spine, albeit a 4-inch long one, published by Spineless Books. 2002, a palindrome story in 2002 words by William Gillespie and Nick Montfort, with illustrations by Shelley Jackson. Designed by Ingrid Ankerson, probably still is a very cool artist somewhere. I requested a 4x4 book because 2 plus 2 or 2 times 2, 2002. There's a lot of numeric stuff going on. So it was a 4-inch by 4-inch. It had vellum wraps, and the centerfold was the middle letter of the palindrome, which was an X. And she laid a vellum illustration on top of that. It was very nice, and I got it produced in bits and pieces from various vendors around town.
And writing a palindrome that length is a pretty daunting project to me.
Yes, we did not have AI. We did write a program that would check for errors. Co-author had a searchable dictionary where you could use a wild card character, so he kind of kicked my butt with that little bit of primitive tech. So, and we got to have conversations writing this book that no one will ever have again or has ever had before. Like, for example, the main characters are the man Bob and the love interest Babs. So I posited to my co-author that Bob's name was a true palindrome, but Babs wasn't. And because it had an S at the end, if you did it backwards, the S would probably be at the end of a verb, meaning some action was being done to her. And so she was, because of her spelling, unfairly prejudiced to be in the predicate of sentences. But my feminist argument did not win out. But I'm really glad that someone got to go that deep on something that obscure and that I could be part of it.
What was your overarching philosophy behind Spineless Books?
An independent publishing house dedicated to the creation and distribution in print and electronic forms of innovative literature with an emphasis on formal innovation, collaborative writing, and utopian thought. And the formal innovation would ideally include book design, one of our threads.
That is an impressive mission statement there that you just spoke from memory.
That was the mission statement. I've managed to stick to it.
Now, what kind of projects does that take you to now?
Utopian thought is increasingly difficult. Let's just leave it at that. For now, it's embracing small press culture and makers who are don't consider themselves professional parts of the book ecology. François Deschamps is a particularly accomplished guy who makes books without any connection or thought to Barnes and Noble, not even 5 degrees of separation. He is invested in his art object, and it just happens to be a book, but he does not appear overly concerned by anything that means or whether he's a writer. And so that is where my philosophy has led me. I'd like to take this break to remind everyone that this show is brought to you by Jane Addams Bookstore in downtown Champaign.
Well, thank you. And we are interviewing William Gillespie, publisher of Spineless Books and proprietor with Kathy Harmon of the upcoming opening bookshop in Lincoln Square Mall.
Kathy is an entrepreneur and a former general contractor whom I dated in high school, and we are now married. And we're either a really good team bringing complementary skills, or we've forgotten something major, and we're about to find out what it is when we open in 2 weeks in Lincoln Square at June 5th. She, for example, painted the space and was so meticulous that she wouldn't let anyone even help her because they would just mess it up. My job has been to organize the inventory, and I'm typing in a lot of ISBNs this week and last
Describe
week.
your inventory. People who walk into your shop, what kind of books will they find?
Glad you asked that, Cope. So what I've done, which may completely fail, but it's to get rid of sections. So it's everything is alphabetized by author, artist, or collective. And then there's a section for anthologies. And a special section for graffiti because there's a lot of graffiti books out there and they're cool. So I decided to add that. And kids' books, they're segregated for like picture books, but chapter books, what we as parents would call chapter books, are integrated with the rest of the stuff. So when you come in, you're handed a map, which is a list of sections like military or Iranian or a Palestinian. We've also got some books with a little bit of Arabic. Anyway, there'll be a list of stuff like that, science, humor, and then the names of the authors that I think best represent that category that I know of so far. So while we have books across subject areas, they are integrated. And in the hope that people will just accidentally touch a book of poetry on their way to military history and our cool Vietnam books.
Well, so you are going to reintroduce the art of browsing.
I like that. There's just a lot of gorgeous eye candy and book candy to be flipped through, and so yeah, I'm excited for the happy accident. The general mission and our friend Pete at the kiosk around the corner supports us in this is just to share book culture, get people excited about books and reading, and develop a healthy reading practice. Maybe experiment with reading poetry for the more free-spirited. Also look at books that don't fit any categories at all, like Avoid, a novel by Georges Perec, which was written in France in French in 1969 without the letter E, with every word spelled correctly and everything grammatical. And just in case you're wondering, the letter E is more common in the French language than in the English language, even though it is the most common letter in the English language. So then in 94, someone, Gilbert Adair, translated that French book without the letter E into a book in English without the letter E, which pushes, the difference between translating something and just rewriting it top to bottom. It's really mind-blowing if you think about it. I encourage you not to think about it, but that book will be in there. And what section really? There's no, it would be a section called lipograms, because that's the name of the technique. We're learning about the palindrome and the lipogram today on Coke's show.
And you also plan to have events in your shop. I mean, will you have poetry readings or author readings?
Our opening gala, June 5th. Lincoln Square is hot. People are like, talk about it like it's some kind of boarded up derelict place, but it was actually, we were fighting to get the last available spot, and it was a little bigger than we needed. So we have a gallery, an art gallery in the back, and we're going to have the works of Jim Flora. Check him out at jimflora.com. But I've
Okay.
purchased a lot of prints. We'll have them framed around the corner at international galleries and give an art show for this deceased Jazz Age painter, and hope to have future art shows as well. Also working on kind of like specials. So every week will be like, this week is about the Rolling Stones. This week is about the French writing collective Oulipo. Yeah.
So people can get an education if they drop by regularly.
Well, yeah. It also gives me something to do on social media besides, say, come to our store. I can talk about why I love these particular things. It doesn't have to be about us. And I look forward to being able to share that, even if there are zero likes. I'm considering this might be a threat, giving a lecture on every Friday at 5, a happy hour lecture on a piece of literature.
I think that is a
But
brilliant idea.
even if the only attendees are just trying to shop, they're like, who is that dude? Can you be quiet? But this June 5th opening, we're going to have Paul Kottheimer doing music and Anastasia Pennington Flax reading poetry.
There are many fine writers and prolific writers in this town, so you will have no shortage of people who would like to read for you. And you also said that you might bring in some music.
Yes, we would also love to have musical acts in addition to Paul Kottheimer, though of course he is our dream.
He just did a book launch for my friend Danielle Chenoweth at the Literary for her book, Remaking Democracy, and he was the featured musician.
We have that book on our shelf
I
already.
would hope so. And the author, I think, will be there to autograph it anytime you ask.
So that's our activism section. People walk in and get the menu. Today's specials, and under activism, they'll find your friend and their co-author, Ms. Adams. We also have a menu item called Alternatives to Capitalism, so I could roll anarchism and socialism and Marxism and stuff that isn't isms yet altogether.
And that's in your non-sectioned system.
Yep, they'd be distributed under names like Goldman and Trotsky and Chenoweth and
Okay, so you have
Albert.
a bit of an agenda behind this bookshop.
Well, I mentioned my agenda was to get people excited about book culture and to engage in reading. So it's not a political agenda, quite the contrary. It's to offer all kinds of stuff.
Well, and then
And
I would encourage you to have reading for children.
we have a library of our favorite kids' books that are store only in the kids' area. And then we have lots of cool stuff for kids to buy or parents to buy their kids. Lots of crafts. Did you ever see the How to Draw books by Ed Emberley? I grew up with those.
No, I
Huge local
didn't.
library. So, yeah, is that what you were referring to?
Kids are some of the most avid readers I know.
Oh, yeah.
And kids' books are pretty compelling. I spend a lot of time reading to a 5-year-old and a 7-year-old, and I have to be on my toes to get material that is up to their expectations of what a book should be.
Well, I look forward to getting some criticism from some tykes on
Okay,
our selection,
okay.
but I think it's pretty hot. And Kathy has really spearheaded the family-friendly aspect of this. And what is weird is that I will have Judy Blume next to William S. Burroughs because of our no section sec.
Oh, I think they're not all that far apart. Have you read much Judy Blume?
Grew up with a little bit of Judy, but until I
Yeah.
got halfway through Blubber, and that was too harsh for me. I could not finish Blubber. I didn't read any more Judy Blume after that.
Yeah.
But I have a copy in our store because why not get Blubber and Samuel Delaney's Hog next to each other?
And what is the name of your bookshop?
To justify that, by the way, to the concerned parents who are afraid their 12-year-old will stumble into William S. Burroughs's Naked Lunch by accident while innocently searching for Are You There, God? It's Me, Margaret. I just want to say that they can get, your kid can get stuff way worse than Naked Lunch on their phone with no trouble at all. And you would be lucky if your child read Naked Lunch, really, because it's a hard book and reading is good for your brain. And it all goes back to the agenda to indoctrinate children into this thing called book culture that you and I, when we grew up, that was all there was. You may have been in a fancy city when you grew up, but around here, you could watch four channels of TV. Maybe there's a show you could go to. You could go out to the movies, or you could read a book, and the TV wasn't that great.
I certainly never outgrew book culture.
No, you built a career around it and
Yes, I did.
married into more of it, as I
Yep.
understand. So.
I do have to mention that you have a long-standing connection with WEFT. So tell us a little bit about your life in music.
Oh, that's fun. This is the sound of a drawer from a library card catalog filled with cassettes. And this represents just part of 2003. So I started digitizing these cassettes of my old radio show with the ones that were recorded in 1992. And that was maybe a year and a half ago. I've made it almost 10 years. I'm going through all the stuff we did on WEFT, all the crazy shenanigans. I had myself assassinated on the air. We pretended that the radio station was burning down and people needed to phone in water or pledge their support in the form of a bucket of sand. We did one pledge drive show where our own beloved Paul Kottheimer went out on the street and busked for change with a microphone with a really long cable. And it was a really cold night. And so he's out there freezing live, trying to get change from Pat. It was great radio. I don't know if we made any money, but we had a collective called the Eclectic Seizure Radio Theater Collective. My first show on WEFT was Wading Through a Ventilator, and then there was Funk, Skank, and Slack, and Hour of Slack, and then Square Waves, my electronic music show. Later on, I did Rock Geek FM with my friend Christy. And while I was in Providence, I was on Brown Student Radio with the show called Williams Mix. That's the title of a John Cage piece. And my name, pretty cool name for a show. It's a 2-minute long electronic music piece. I recommend it. It's just the right size for that kind of thing. And I think he adds his own applause at the end, which is always nice. John Cage. Where
Well,
were
I'm going to have you back on Catch the Beat because there is clearly a lot more to talk about.
Oh,
So
well,
I
you
am
can have
going to
time.
give a very large thanks to William Gillespie for telling us about your new venture. And everyone listening, be sure to put June 5th on your calendar. And
See y'all at the mall.
tonight's interview on Catch the Beat has been a salute to the creativity and bookmaking of William Gillespie. Explore his writing and more of the inspiration behind what you will see at Spineless Books, the new bookshop that he and Kathy Harmon are opening on June 5th, at a new and expanded author's website. It's well worth a visit. The collected writings of William K. Gillespie and Friends, and you can find it at all one word, webworkwriting.com. The site gives a comprehensive tour of work by William and collaborators in many forms, from real printed books, even some letterpress, on up through ebooks. Also publishing via radio waves and other subversive media forms. Make a note to visit June 5th for the grand opening and after for the regular hours of Spineless Books at Lincoln Square Mall. In the words of the genius behind this innovative approach to bookselling, William Gillespie and Kathy Harman, we plan to sell the best books ever written, new and gently used, with an emphasis on local writers, small press poetry, beautiful book design, graphic novels, and fiction in translation, the good stuff. We got Kafka, we got Gaddis, we got Action Books, Isolari Books, University of New Mexico Press Books, New Directions, Dalkey Archive, Burning Deck, Archipelago, Celio, and a dozen other small presses doing incredible work in the shadow of New York publishing. We have books by Palestinians, Ukrainians, and Iranians. We have huge books and tiny books, collectible first editions, and affordable Dover thrift editions. We are very excited to share this wealth with you and help you build a sustainable reading practice, all part of our mission in the health and wellness wing of Lincoln Square Mall. We have a back room that will be, for now, a gallery of framed art for sale, where we hope to feature local artists. This room can also be made available for art classes, funky corporate retreats, and secret meetings of poets. And the promise from the proprietors of Spineless Books is, should ICE ever raid the mall, we will be handing out free copies of the U.S. Constitution. Come in and get lost in a lush world of literature and book art.
Shout out to the Lazy Daisy and all the good stores at Lincoln Square Mall, the new Lincoln Square, as it is legally known. This is WEFT Champagne. We love you.
Catch the Beat is brought to you in part by the listeners of WEFT and Jane Addams Bookshop in downtown Champaign. For more than 40 years, Jane Addams Bookshop has been a destination for readers and book lovers of all ages. Jane Addams Bookshop at 208 North Neal in downtown Champaign, online at janeaddamsbooks.com. You're listening to WEFT Champaign 90.1 FM, streaming on weft.org. All episodes of Catch the Beat are archived on the WEFT website at weft.org under Public Affairs. You can also listen to live stream and archive shows on the WEFT app, available on your favorite app store. With thanks to Creative Commons for intro and outro music by Kevin MacLeod, see you next time.